This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the LA Local Morning Update, keeping you caught up with the latest from KNX News. Check back this afternoon for the LA Local's full daily briefing on what you need to know in SoCal.
Local sheriff making it official soon. He wants to be governor. Fire hydrants, more trouble with them all over L.A. They're broken. First, though, we got rain today and then a whole lot more as we get into tomorrow.
Light rain today, but this is just a little bit of what's ahead, and it's going to be a lot. We get more live this morning on the preparation out for the Eaton Fire Zone with our John Baird.
Well, they've got stacks of sandbags here at a park, Robinson Park, where people can grab them to put around their homes and garages, you know, just in case. In the meantime, crews are out keeping an eye on the debris basins at the base of the foothills where, you know, where the mud and rocks and debris end up when the rain comes. They have to be constantly cleared out. Mark Pastrella is the director of L.A. County Public Works.
And when we have a non-functional debris basin, what happens is we have uncontrolled flows. And this is a flood control engineer's worst nightmare. Because once we lose the control of those flows, they're going to find the path of least resistance, which sometimes goes through people's neighborhoods, through homes.
And that's exactly what they're trying to prevent. Now, I was talking to Steve Foster in the Palisades Fire Zone recently. He says they've been preparing for mudslides in his neighborhood since day one of the fire.
We've shored up the majority of all of the really endangered homes in the neighborhood.
For mudslides?
For mudslides. Right now, the PCH is the wild card.
As a matter of fact, there are a lot of areas that could be at risk, and we know that the most intense rain is supposed to come later Thursday and early Friday morning, so authorities are urging people to get sandbags, do whatever they can to protect their properties, but also be ready to get out if things get too dicey.
People want to see speed when it comes to clearing the debris in these fire zones, but you got to do it the right way.
Looking over the rubble on Livorno and Salerno Drives, Colonel Brian Saucer with the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers said workers' safety is key. The removal operations will be a seven-day-a-week effort for the foreseeable future, but once you remove the debris, you have to put it somewhere. How many places are we going to have to dispose of concrete, burned-up steel, timbers, and everything else that are ash now?
In total, here in Southern California, we're looking at about 17 different facilities, and some of that will be split up, some of it will be shared by both fire impact areas. So we're standing here today at the Palisades, and right here we have upwards of about 6 to 7 facilities that we're going to utilize for those different waste streams.
There may still be some toxic debris on some of the lots buried under rubble. In that case, the Corps will work hand-in-hand with the EPA to expedite its removal, and after it's safely removed, it's back to lifting, scraping, and dumping until a lot is down to bare earth, 6 inches lower than when a house was resting on it. In Pacific Palisades, I'm Pete Demetrio, KNX News, 97.1 FM.
An investigation by KCAL News found that over 1,300 fire hydrants in L.A. need maintenance or repairs. Some of the hydrants that were reported broken a year ago still haven't been fixed, or at least when the fires broke out. During the Palisades fire, of course, there were questions raised about, you know, was there enough water? Firefighters flagged broken hydrants and told the DWP several not fixed within the burn area. The investigation finds problems may be widespread from the San Fernando Valley to Long Beach, and KCAL has a map of all the hydrants they say are in need of repair on their website.
Guy from Culver City who flew the drone into the Super Scooper is going to plead guilty in court later this afternoon. Damaged the wing, right? Knocked it out of service while they fixed it. He's agreed to plead guilty to a misdemeanor, pay $65,000 in damages and fines, and complete 150 hours of community service.
Sheriff of Riverside County, this is Chad Bianco, says he will run for governor in 2026. This is according to two people familiar with the plans, talking to Politico, saying he's been eyeing higher office since last spring. He's a Republican supporter of President Trump and criticizes Democratic leaders, especially Governor Newsom. Bianco is known for his tough stance on crime and his opposition to illegal immigration. Speculation about Bianco has mounted in recent days after an online post teased a major announcement.
Fake ICE signs popping up on Santa Monica Boulevard in West Hollywood in the Rainbow District Friday night. WeHo Times says the sheriff's department working with local businesses to try and figure out who put them up. The mayor told KTLA the signs appear to be meant to scare people. That's not what the city stands for. They were taken down. The sign has the Homeland Security logo and a phone number. It says report suspicious activity to ICE. Something new today. One stop, the rebuilding office for those impacted by the Palisades fire. West LA, basically all the paperwork, all those permits you got to get done. You can do everything right there. It was an idea of LA City Councilmember Tracy Parks, and she's on the line now.
Councilwoman, good morning.
Good morning.
So let's say that I am a survivor of the Palisades fire, and I walk in there today, and I want to get stuff done. What can I get done?
Well, you can get every conceivable permit that you might need to begin the rebuilding process. We have city planning, Department of Building and Safety, the fire department, the utility companies, all of the public works bureaus are there. This is intended to be streamlined, efficient, one-stop shopping to make it as easy as possible for people to start the rebuilding process.
And are people there to hold my hand and help me, or am I just handed a stack of papers and they say, hey, have fun reading all this?
No, this is concierge-level service. This is well-staffed. People are on hand to answer questions and to guide families and residents through the process. You know, my commitment in this is to rebuild the Palisades for the Palisades community and to be with them every step of the way. You know, most people who own a home didn't build the home, and it can be overwhelming and intimidating to know where and how to start the process. So we are here to make this as simple as possible.
There is a difference between filling out the paperwork and having it approved. And I know it varies depending on what you are requesting, but how will this be fast-tracked?
So right now, to incentivize people to rebuild and come home, if you are planning to build what you had plus 10% additional, those permits are essentially just going to be rubber stamped and moved through. If folks want to do more complicated projects, significantly change what they had before, then there is, you know, more of a review process to it. But our plan is to move people as quickly and efficiently as possible, because I want contractors on the ground. I want hammers and nails. I want the community to see the progress and the commitment of the people of the Palisades to get home.
The city usually operates on a 9-to-5 schedule. Will this have different hours, and will it be open on weekends?
So, yes, we're going to be open on the weekends. We're operating during normal business hours now. But if we have an influx of people that require us to make adjustments to accommodate the need, just like we did with the Disaster Recovery Center, we can make this work for our community.
We had a report from KCAL News a few minutes ago. You might have heard it because you were on the line already. It's a look at how many fire hydrants are broken. You've talked to us before about the engines that still need to be fixed. This doesn't inspire a lot of confidence. I mean, I'm looking at their map right here. I count 9 hydrants in the Palisades area that they said were reported broken almost a year ago.
I did hear the report. Absolutely shocking and infuriating. But again, not entirely surprising given the chronic underinvestment in infrastructure and maintenance and repairs that are necessary. We have seen this story play out again and again. And an interesting, just yesterday, I was talking to my team about rolling out a plan for testing and evaluating all of our fire hydrants here on the west side, because these issues are not unique. We are also dealing with the issue of theft from fire department connection valves in high-rise buildings because of the precious metals in actual fire hydrants. There are just issues everywhere that need to be addressed.
LA City Council Member Tracy Park, thanks for talking to us.
Apple is warning of an iPhone security flaw, and Costco is not giving away ice cream makers, no matter what an email tells you. More coming up as 20 minutes of nonstop news continues.
Two of the president's cabinet picks facing some key votes today. The Senate voting next hour on whether to confirm Tulsi Gabbard as the next director of national intelligence, and then another procedural vote on RFK Jr. for Health and Human Services. We talked to CBS News Capitol Hill reporter Torian Small. He says both are likely going to make it.
It's expected that she'll be voted and ultimately confirmed. And then the clock starts again for Robert F. Kennedy Jr., who Leader Thune has up next. That means 30 hours of debate Democrats are allowed to utilize before a final vote for him happens.
And then there's Trump's pick to head the FBI, Kash Patel, a committee vote tomorrow.
The president welcomed Mark Fogel. He's that American school teacher at the White House, released from Russian custody after 3 years. Fogel said he feels like the luckiest man on earth.
I love our country, and I'm so happy to be back here. And I wish I could articulate it better.
The president told reporters the deal he made with Russia to get Fogel out was very fair.
It could be a big, important part of getting the war over with Ukraine. And we appreciate President Putin's what he did. He was able to pull it off.
President Trump said another American would be coming home today.
Did you see the Elon Musk Q&A right there inside the Oval Office?
Elon Musk made a rare public appearance at the White House Tuesday as President Trump signed an executive order to continue downsizing the federal workforce. Musk telling reporters,
"It's not optional for us to reduce the federal expenses. It's essential."
Identifying the problem this way.
We have this unelected, fourth unconstitutional branch of government, which is the bureaucracy, which has, in a lot of ways, currently more power than any elected representative.
As for criticism that he's mounting a hostile takeover of the government,
the people voted for major government reform.
He said DOGE has a strong mandate.
The president spoke about that at every rally. The people voted for major government reform. And that's what people are going to get. They're going to get what they voted for.
Along with large-scale reductions in force, the order calls for agencies to hire no more than one employee for every four that leave. Ben Thomas, Washington.
Lawyers for the Trump administration have agreed to temporarily stop the Department of Government Efficiency, DOGE, from accessing student loan and financial aid information. The decision came after a UC group filed a lawsuit saying it violates privacy. DOGE, of course, created to cut government spending, but some say it's overstepping its authority. This week, there were reports that DOGE had cut funding for programs that track student progress, like the College Scoreboard and the National Report Card. However, the Department of Education says that those programs won't be affected. The court's decision will hold until next week as both sides prepare their arguments.
All right, we got that Costco scam going around.
The reward promised in this email, a brand new ice cream machine.
The recipient needs to only fill out a quick survey, and then they're eligible to receive a Ninja ice cream maker. It is not from Costco, although it has the Costco logo and could fool some people. It is from a non-Costco email address.
Sonoma County District Attorney Carla Rodriguez says that is one of the clues if you're wondering if the email is a scam or not. Look at the actual address it comes from. They don't know if the scammers fooled anyone yet.
Usually they ask for information relating to bank accounts, driver's license number, passwords, etc. And sometimes just clicking on something within the email will allow the scammer to have access to a person's email.
I'm Megan Goldsby, KNX News 97.1 FM.
If you want to protect your iPhone from hackers, make sure to update it. Apple just released an update, and they're asking everyone to do it right away. They say there's a security flaw that's already being used in some hacks. The issue involves something called USB restricted mode, a safety feature that keeps your phone safe from hackers when it's locked. But a hacker could potentially turn that feature off if they're near you. The update will patch the flaw, they say, and keep your phone safe from the attacks. To update, just go to the settings and hit software update.
Worse than expected inflation report for January. Consumer price index up 0.5% for the month, 3% year over year. Washington University economist John Horn with the latest numbers. We talked to him when we're going to see the impact, too, of the president's tariffs.
When we get into these kinds of reports, often it's a lot of numbers and percentages, but I like to bring it down to how it hits me when I'm out buying things. And in this report, food.
Like eggs.
Like eggs. Food is a big factor, right? Is it just the eggs? Man, it's killing me.
That was the big one. Eggs were up 15% month over month and like 53% over the past 12 months. That was the big one. Yeah.
So food, and then what else? We're also getting hit on rent, right? Which always skews everything, because as long as it's so high, it's going to have that ripple effect. And it's been sticky for a long time.
Yeah, and it was about 30% of the overall increase in inflation the last month was just because of shelter rent. It actually wasn't energy as much. You know, gasoline went up a little bit in the last month, but over the course of the year, it was actually down. So, you know, the one that economists like to look at is the index excluding food and energy. That's the, you know, food and energy can go up and down for lots of reasons, not due to just general overall economic things like bird flu and eggs. And that number actually was higher. So that's also sort of, I think, probably going to give the, you know, chairman of the Federal Reserve, Chairman Powell, a little bit of pause about trying to lower interest rates again, since that number was actually higher.
Okay, so let's go there then, because the president has already called on Truth Social for a new cut in interest rates. What do you think?
Well, interest rate cuts tend to stimulate the economy. Stimulating the economy tends to lead to inflation. And if the tariffs that have been discussed also get put in place, that's also going to put pressure on inflation. So, you know, I understand the president wants inflation to come down, as a lot of voters and a lot of citizens want inflation to come down. But cutting interest rates tends to juice the economy, you know, especially, you know, we see that shelter is going up still. Lowering interest rates is probably going to put even more pressure on the housing market and prices, because the supply just hasn't kept up.
When it comes to those tariffs, how long do we have until we start seeing the effects of those?
Well, it depends on, you know, a lot of the tariffs were suspended on, you know, Canada and Mexico. If those are put back in place, you know, end of this month, then that could have a pretty immediate effect on things like food that we import or other products like that. The tariffs on aluminum and steel, those are going to have a little bit longer time, probably, because those are generally on primary goods, which then get produced into components, which then go into final products. But we also see that companies start to increase their prices in anticipation of that downstream effect. And so it's probably not going to be immediate that we see increases in prices, but it'll happen pretty soon.
John Horn, economist, Washington University.